We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. That sound, of course, the wait being over, was from the Blues finally winning the Stanley Cup a year ago. And ladies and gentlemen, the NHL has come back, and they have their plan to resume play with the Stanley Cup playoffs in an expanded dance mix format. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. How is everybody doing today?
And we came back.
Right?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say anything until someone said, yes,
I think
we can actually see you.
We are back. For those that have been wondering, like us, for a couple of months, hey, when are you guys going to get a live feed in your basement, Golic? Well, we do. Right
there
now,
you go.
We're on ESPN2 because there's KBO
news.
On
news.
News. Because KBO is on ESPN2. As soon as that game is over, we'll switch over to ESPN2. But we are on. Thanks to
I didn't want to say anything.
I was wondering why you didn't.
I was like, somebody give me the thumbs up.
Because, you know, and a lot of thanks to a lot of people. Our program director, Justin Craig, a lot to do with this, without question. He did a lot of people behind the scenes, but certainly Justin was very, very instrumental in this. So it's finally happened. Happened.
In the Wayne's basement version of your basement.
Well, that makes all the sense when hockey comes back. Party on.
Yeah, we are going to
game
need,
on.
Jerry, we're going to need some Wayne's World music without question.
Because
this is the first setup down here. I imagine over the next few days or weeks, it's going to get a lot more comfortable with ottomans, and the dogs will be down shortly. The whole thing will ramp up.
I may just bring a sleeping bag.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever works.
Huh? Do it that way. But the Wayne's World reference is very apt because the NHL has come up with a plan. Now, we should be clear, because yesterday there was a lot of stuff out there about what the NHL is doing, what Major League Baseball is trying to do back and forth. We'll get to why there's a delineation there that you need to understand about both of these things. But first and foremost, the NHL has proposed their plan, and the players have agreed to the plan to play. Not to pay, but to play. That's very important. Essentially, you know, seven is usually a lucky number. Not so much this year. Seven teams, their season is over. They're out. They're not in.
Yeah. So, again, because we're hearing and we're going to get into it, a lot of talk about the money side of baseball, basketball. We're still not there yet either. This for hockey, I'm sure people are going to say, look, the hockey, they figured it out. Look, they're ready to go. They're not.
Yeah.
It was a 29-2 vote by the NHLPA yesterday, the Players Association, for the format. That is all.
Correct.
Just the format, not the safety procedures yet, not the money yet. We'll have Gary Bettman on in the 9 o'clock Eastern hour of our show, the commissioner of the NHL, to chat about some of the things involved there. But it was all the only that was agreed to was the format they had talked about, the 24 team playoffs.
Yeah. And so they've got in place would be the top 12 teams in each conference ranked by points percentage. Each conference would be assigned to a hub city that's yet to be determined yet. They said a lot of what's going to go into the hub cities is going to have to do with, the health and safety guidelines, where they are, where that place is at in its part of the pandemic. And then they would choose the hub cities. There's going to be a comprehensive system for testing that'll be in place for each hub city. Each team will be permitted to travel with a max of 50 personnel, including players, coaches, and staff. So all of that going to be a part of this. I'm with you guys. The NHL hasn't won anything yet.
Correct.
They haven't finished this off.
Right, right.
But they are up to a commanding early lead.
They did. And real quickly, how it's going to work with the 24, the top four in each conference. So in the East, Boston, Tampa Bay, Washington, Philly. In the West, St. Louis, Colorado, Vegas, Dallas. They're going to play a round robin tournament and from each conference there, the four teams, a round robin tournament to determine who is seed 1 through 4. They're going to start out. Those are the top four. Round robin, regular season rules apply to that round robin tournament,
right.
And they'll get seeded 1 through 4. The 5 through 12 teams, they're going to be seeded and play a best of 5 series in a playoff format, And then when that's done, you'll have your 16-team playoffs. So 8 teams will be ousted from the 5 through 12 in each conference. The 1 through 4 in each conference will have a round robin to seed 1 through 4. And then when that whole basically first round is over between the 1 through 4 and the 5 through 12, you'll have your top 16, and we go off into the play, into the regular playoffs.
Right. Set. Pour some out for 7 teams, the Sabres, the Devils, the Ducks, the Kings, the Sharks, the Senators, and the Red Wings. Their season is over. They're done.
And that's one of the first questions.
They're done.
Again,
they're
Gary
done.
Bettman joins at 9:10 Eastern.
Yeah.
They done getting paid too?
Well, that's a great question because we haven't seen anything on the financial side.
No, we have not.
So again, we'll get into baseball a little bit later because there is bickering and it's getting ugly and it's like, guys, figure it the bleep out.
The suck kept going, didn't it?
We are still to use our fine, baseball insider Jeff Passan's, word. He's the executive vice president of suckage, as we gave him yesterday. Yeah. He said he'll take the EVP title because he thought it was a promotion.
Well, here's the thing, though. We say figure it the bleep out. This is all the stuff that the NHL, to some extent, has to figure it the bleep out. They're further than most based on what they've agreed to already. But again, they've been able to do this. And maybe part of it is we don't shine a light directly or as hotly on hockey as we do the other major leagues. But they have done this largely sight unseen. They have done this largely out of the public viewscape without any bickering, without any public back and forth. And so whatever issues they may have had, you didn't have to hear about it. Don't show me the labor pain, show me the baby.
Right. Well, you're exactly right. We didn't hear about it, which means they've probably been able to work through out of this without going and having people go on Twitch and talk about getting the Rona and getting taxed for millions of dollars and all that stuff, which no one cares about. Just figure out your problems.
Yeah, so, just know there are about 12-13 games that was left in their regular season. Right. In the NBA, it was about 19-20 games, so that's kind of where they are.
And again, when we get to baseball, we should clarify, it's much easier to try and finish a season than to try and start a season and get
which
that revenue coming
doing,
in.
Right, right.
Brian Windhorst made a great point with us yesterday on that.
It is, but they've agreed to a plan faster than the NBA being in a similar point. Like, I'm
correct.
Weirdly willing to give the NHL credit, which is
absolutely
something that we don't often do around
you
these
absolutely
parts.
Have to. So again, you laid out the situation. There'll be 2 hub cities, one for the East, one for the West. There'll be all this daily testing. A maximum of 50 personnel, including players, coaches, and staff, will be into that hub city. So that's how it's all going to play out when it gets there. Here's Commissioner Gary Bettman, who again will join us in just about 3 hours from now on phase 3, which would be the final act of getting everything going.
Phase 3 of our return to play plan will be the opening of formal training camps. The timing of our entry into phase 3 again will be determined by guidance from medical and civil authorities. While we are anxious to open camps as soon as possible, we don't envision doing so before the first half of July.
Okay, so what we're talking about is the training camps in the first half of July, then end of July and into August. Boy, you want to talk about the stink of the rink. End of July and August.
Nice and hot, huh?
I mean, it is going to be playoff hockey. I mean, we see playoff hockey sometimes in those old arenas in May and June where it gets difficult. I'm curious to see what it's going to be like whenever we get to where these subsidies are.
Listen, I'm just happy we have something going forward. To your point, Mike, and both of you guys' point, really, let's be honest, the hard stuff hasn't been worked out. And that's, again, going to be the money and the testing. But the format that they're checking boxes at this point.
And the way I look at it is if you've agreed to hack off regular season games and agreed to, because what they've done is adopt some pretty interesting format things. We've heard the NBA, we've heard Adam Silver talk about the various format changes that he would like to see.
Right.
The NHL went and sprinkled a couple of those into their postseason, an expanded postseason model. And so you've got a change in the amount of games, which means at some point there's a concession about the way you're going to organize salary. So it leads you to believe there has to be kind of some stuff they've already agreed to behind the scenes on this one. How they hammer out the details is ultimately remains to be seen, but this is a massive step forward.
It is a huge step forward. And again, another one of these sort of trickle of opening the tap of sports returning and how it's going to get there. But there's one big question that everyone wants to know when the NHL returns. You cannot social distance and be a good hockey player.
That'd be very difficult.
Especially in playoffs. Again, it's the hardest trophy to win, in my opinion, having covered it, not even close. So when we come back, we'll get to more of what the other side of this means and how they're going to do the thing that everybody is wondering about when sports returns. That is testing. We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, and literally moving pictures on TV on ESPN News.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
24 of our 31 teams will resume play.
It's a unique idea.
Games are exciting. That's what's exciting.
I applaud the owners and I applaud the players for coming together at such short notice to get this thing done.
Yeah. Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Literally moving pictures on ESPN News. Wow. As we've got the man cave set up and we're celebrating the return of hockey eventually. We have a plan. We have a plan in place. It was announced yesterday. We just talked about it the last segment. There are going to be 24 teams in a modified playoff. Seven teams, their season is over. But it's going to be in two hub cities, one in the east, one in the west. You laid out all the plans, Mike, last segment. But there's one thing that we didn't talk about last segment.
No, we did not.
Which is the other side of this, and it's the reason we're all in this position trying to find a way to get back because of the pandemic that has swept across this country, and sports went on the hard shutdown on March 12th, and that's what to do about testing. So Gary Bettman and company and the players approved it, came through with this plan to resume play, training camps in July, round-robin tournament of a postseason with 24 teams in a sort of a round-robin for one half and then the top four seeds in the other half getting things going, and that's the way they're going to resume play. But, of course, what are they going to do about testing of players? Because, as we said last segment, you cannot social distance and be any good at hockey. So here's our ESPN NHL reporter and insider, Emily Kaplan, talking about the extensive plans that the NHL has for testing players and everybody else in those hub cities.
The NHL has been adamant about ethically procuring tests throughout all of this. They didn't want to step in front of the medical community. And so when they started to lay out their protocols for phase two, which they hope to get to in early June, those are voluntary workouts at team facilities, they said that we're only going to test if the tests are available in that market. Guys will have to get tested 2 days before they get on the ice and then twice weekly after that. Then all of a sudden we start hearing, in training camp it's going to be more frequently, and now we're going to get to a situation where if we get games this summer, players will be tested every single night. And Gary Bettman says that he believes those tests will be ready and available in the morning.
So they're going to be tested every night, and they'll be ready to go every night. We're talking about a number of tests here.
Well, and that was something that I think Brian Windhorst brought up with us yesterday in general about sports, was this idea that the shift for all sports was, the conversation used to be the ethical procurement of tests.
Right.
And now it's, all right, well, we've gotten concessions, and the NBA said that they've heard from, you know, the decision makers in Orlando, because they're potentially looking at playing in Disney World, that their frontline workers have the test. Now, that's right. Kind of the barometer is, are there enough tests for the health and safety of the frontline workers, the people that need that most there, and not necessarily the general population? And he said that's been a big shift for all the pro sports leagues, and that's a huge one here.
Oh, it is a huge one here, and that's going to be the key everywhere, it seems, except we don't hear it in college. You know, that's the one place, and I'm sure there'll be more and more talk about college as they get set to open up with many more athletes than the pros from all the different sports. So we're going to have to see where that one goes, but for all the pro sports, it has been about testing. All these phases are going to look somewhat the same.
Sure.
Like phase two in hockey, when that starts, I believe in June. Players only, non-contact skates, weight training that doesn't require a spotter, cardio resistance you can do, rehab for injured players, things that aren't allowed in phase two, no media, no player agents, no massage therapists, no chiropractors, no family members. I think you'll see a lot of that in the different sports, a lot of those same basic rules as you start to ramp up, like, and then their training camp will start where you're going to be able to play real hockey coming in the beginning of July. But I think a lot of those rules are going to look the same for even college as well, in a lot of areas.
And just so people understand, I think you're much easier to get a test in no matter what you're doing now. For example, when this all started, I signed up for this one company that was giving up tests, and they said, we're only giving it to first responders now. Like 2 weeks ago, I got an email, hey, we have so many tests, we're, if you want it, you can get it. So I think that's sort of the process. They're procuring these in a way that wouldn't take away from any of the people that will be on the front lines in any way, shape, or form that need it. So that's how they're going to resume this season. But what I thought was really interesting is what Bill Daly said, the NHL's deputy commissioner. He was on with Freddie and Fitzsimmons last night. And essentially, again, talk about the NHL being so forward-thinking this, that they have a plan already in place in terms of how they're going to play for this season. Well, Bill Daly was on last night and basically said it's important that they get this season in so they can figure out how to get it going next season.
Looking ahead to next year, we don't know what next year is going to look like. I don't think any sports league knows what next year is going to look like with respect to fans in the stands and whether our customers can come back and be in the buildings and spend money in the buildings and generate revenue in the buildings. And we collectively with the Players Association take a realistic view of that, and we're willing to take steps that we can, if we're in a position where that's a matter of time and we're moving in that right direction, we might be able to delay the start of next season in ways that can facilitate in-person attendance by our fans.
Isn't that so odd? Because you have college ADs talking about putting 20 to 30,000 people in open-air stadiums right now in college, in these 100,000-seat stadiums. And as it's been put by Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, if people are going to get on a plane in a close area in a plane, why couldn't they go into a stadium? I'm surprised that hasn't been talked about in arenas at all.
I'd imagine an arena being indoors is a little bit of a different prospect. Yeah.
I'm sure it is, but I guess still, so is a plane.
It definitely is, but I think there's a lot of different exits. I think there's a big difference in the way that people right now are still perceiving this virus indoors versus outdoors. I get the plane comparison it works, but I don't know. I don't know for the NHL's sake, but again, it seems like they're erring on the side of caution with almost every way they go about this.
Yeah. But not only are they erring on the side of caution, they are being very forward thinking about this, which I think is fascinating. Remember, we're talking about a league that is, with their commissioner, Gary Bettman, has three times in his tenure had a work stoppage, and one time they shut down an entire season.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, the baseball got grief for not playing a World Series 1 year. The NHL took a year off. They took a year off and basically tried to figure this thing out.
But everyone talked about the effect on next season. Like, this sort of feels like a left Twix, right Twix situation for me here, because I don't think what's at the core, like we've mentioned with everything else, what's at the core of all these conversations has been largely the same. It's all about presentation. And the NHL has done the best job of presenting all this information to us. We haven't heard about it a lot. It's been a less is more philosophy for them in a way that hasn't been demanded of everyone else. But at the end, the inside of the cookie is largely going to be the same, like you said, whether it comes to testing, when it comes to the phases for all these things, the problems them and the NBA face in all of this. It's just been, all right, how you roll out the process in this.
I'm so proud.
Yeah.
I'm so proud when you can make sports analogies to food and candy.
Well, I feel like I've
raised you well.
I was waiting for the Twix analogy, and I'm like, okay.
No, I get it.
Oh, I got it.
Listen.
It took me a while to get where you were, but I get it.
For a candy lover like me, it makes perfect sense. And you wonder if maybe the other leagues should have started with the perceived maybe easier part, the format. Yeah. Because again, we haven't even gotten to the money. And when we get to the baseball, that's basically all the talk. Would have been better if baseball maybe ironed out some of the other things to look like they were going in the right direction. Either way, you're going to have to eventually get the money. I get it.
I think the NBA is the interesting comp here, because both of them were basically in the same part trying to finish their season. And with the NBA, we've seen the format is somewhat tied to money, like we've talked about. Those two are hard to really pull apart in any meaningful way.
Like the Twix bar.
The NBA, like a Twix bar.
Thank you.
The NBA also has the interesting dilemma of being much more hyper-scrutinized.
Right.
Adam Silver is someone who deals in full transparency, and we haven't asked or demanded that of the NHL in the same way. And so they've taken that, and they've done right by it, meaning they've done all of this talk and conversation largely in the dark, largely without having to have all that attention on it. And what it's done is it's helped them avoid having the negative press like the MLB has right now. Having all that, because we haven't turned on the NBA yet, but it has been a lot of focus.
We talked about Michelle Roberts and Ramona Shelburne's story yesterday, basically saying the executive director of the NBAPA, hey, our guys are ready. What plan do you have? So they're getting a little antsy. So the NHL is out ahead of everybody right now. And we know this much. If you're going to be playing hockey, there will be contact, be sweating, and there might be spitting. And there might be spitting that has a big problem with something else in Major League Baseball, along with pay. There's a whole bunch of issues we got to get to along with Major League Baseball. And we'll get to that as we continue after this.
Without real sports, we're beginning to treat everything else as a sport. At home, schooling your kids, well, why not try and school them in the backyard? They're going to beat you in the schooling part. You take them in the backyard in some kind of ball game. All you ballers and couch coaches, you need stamina, you need endurance, you need almonds. 6 grams, natural, energy-giving protein, so you can run a clean program. Almonds, they kind of look like footballs as well, don't they? Use them as golf ball markers, too. We miss you, sports. We love you, California Almonds. Own your whatever day, every day with California Almonds. It's getting from bad to worse in baseball. We discuss next on Go Look a Wingo.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
All right, Golgan Wingo with you on a Wednesday morning. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80, and also smart speakers. So we have a plan for the NHL, basically on the playing side. The money is going to be worked out. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously problematic, but I don't think it's going to be as problematic because both the NBA and the NHL have received a majority of their revenues. Mm-hmm. And so it's just trying to figure out how to get across the finish line. Major League Baseball is in a much different place. They're trying to find a way to start their season, and obviously they're looking from the owner's side at massive revenue losses by fans not showing up in stadiums because they won't be allowed for what we believe to be a majority of whatever the season is going to be played, if it's going to be played. So we had Ian Happ with us, the Cubs infielder, last week, and he basically, we haven't even seen the proposal yet from the owners. Well, they've seen it now, and it is, to call it a haircut would be like going in as a Yeti and coming out full Brazilian, completely nude. I mean, it's not a haircut. Okay.
I like this Twix bar thing before, other than that visual.
Well, they found some Twix bars in the Yeti when they cut off all his hair. I mean, look, we understand this is a negotiation. This is the first offer. But for a first offer, it is a whopper.
If there are 3 prongs to everyone coming back, meaning there is the format of how you come back playing-wise, the health and safety version of it, and then the financials of it, it seems like Major League Baseball may have struck out as far as the first offer. And that's what this is.
Yes.
The first proposal, the first plan with the Players Association. Tuesday night, the MLBPA put out a statement in response to the proposal. It said, the proposal involves massive additional pay cuts, and the union is extremely disappointed. We're also far apart on health and safety protocols.
Play ball!
So here, yikes. We're just going to try and keep this simple. What the league tried to do is, the less you made, the more you kept.
Yes.
And the more you made, the less you keep.
By a large margin.
So here is the lowest guys that get paid in the league $563,000. Okay, that would be their full year salary. Under what the players' plan was that they agreed to in March, which said we're prorating to 82 games, which is roughly half, that same player would make $285,000. Under the league's new proposal, instead of the prorated $285,000, under the league's new proposal, he would make $262,000. So a difference of $23,000.
Sure.
Not a large haircut there, right? Nope. So the lesser player gets to keep close to all of his money. Now let's go to the top. Mike Trout makes $37 million, right? So prorated for him would be right around $19 million. Yeah. Prorated. Under the league's new proposal, he would get paid about a little over $5 million.
That seems excessive.
So that, I mean, so for Mike Trout, it's basically what, an 80%?
More or less, like 78%.
It's unreal. It goes down to all the prices, all the amounts from 563. So say if you make $20 million, if you're a $20 million player, under the players, what they agreed to, the prorated would be about $10 million, right? Under the league's new proposal, that player, instead of the $20 million, well, thinking he's going to make $10, would make $5 million. So that would be cut in half yet again. So the more you make, the more haircut you take. And basically, in all honesty, this is a negotiation. If you're the players, do you even negotiate and give the league the thought that you're negotiating? You say, this is so ridiculous, we're not even giving you a counteroffer to this. We're going off what we agreed to in March.
Well, that's one way to do it. Or you could just say, we're not acknowledging your offer. Here's our offer. And not even touch that. But they got a lot of bleep they got to work out.
Wow.
Here. There's no question about it. So here was Jeff Passan last night on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. Basically, his reaction to when he saw what the owners were proposing to the players.
I see a first offer that went too far. And I'm not sure what the calculus was behind this offer. Listen, first offers are always going to be a little bit outlandish. That's what negotiating is about. And I think we have to understand that. And it's why today I'm not sitting here saying there's not going to be a Major League Baseball season. The big question, Scott, is how the Players Association is going to respond to this now. Are they just going to sit back and say, you know what, this doesn't even warrant us coming back to you with a proposal? Or are they going to use this and say, now that we have all of our players working together, now that we have the force of them behind us, we're going to go and ask for what we want. And we're going to go and try and put the pressure on Major League Baseball, knowing that the league ultimately, like the players, wants to play baseball games.
That, of course, Jeff Passan, the EVP of the Suckage, the executive vice president of the Suckage, as he is, he's on the suckometer and how this is all going to go through Major League Baseball. Look, there are a million ways that they can go, and all of this is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. But at the end of the day, the clock is ticking, I think, for baseball, maybe more than anything else, because we had Jeff with us yesterday, Junior, and he basically said, we got to figure this out by early June.
Yeah.
Monday is June 1st. So for a first offer that was this much of a just taking a lightsaber and cutting people's money in many bits, cool, but you guys really got to get to work now and try and figure something out. There can't be a lot of posturing about we're not going to respond. You've got to have some sort of return on the player side so we can sort of really get the negotiations going.
Again, the response from the Players Association to our own Enrique Rojas Tuesday night: the proposal involves massive additional pay cuts and the union is extremely disappointed. We're also far apart on health and safety precautions. So they've acknowledged the plan. I don't know what the response is going to look like, but they haven't ignored it. They have acknowledged this and they've said, all right, we're far apart on all of these material things, the financials of this certainly, but also the health and safety. Remember that 67-page health and safety protocol,
right,
that the MLB sent over to the PA a couple days ago that we hadn't necessarily heard back from yet. So one very succinct response from the player side, which again is important. Less is more here because they're going to try and make you the bad guy. You can already hear that thing welling up, right? Like, oh, we're really going to lose sleep over Mike Trout making $37 million, having to take a pay cut when as it was pointed out here, and I think this was from our own Jesse Rogers, who covers the MLB for us, about 65% of players in the league make $1 million or less. So they fall into the lower end of things. The meat of the bell curve of the league in this is being asked to take far less of a haircut when it comes to this. And so everyone's going to try and paint it as, well, if they don't say yes to this or anything comparable, look at the greedy players. Remember, the person who owns the team has money with a B, more than likely.
Yep.
The person who owns the team has money with the B, and they're asking for all this to happen so they can save some money. Just remember that, because as we right. get ready to do the thing that normally happens here, where the players get villainized and all that stuff, the person up top has by far the most amount of money in all this and are asking all these people who are going to take the real risk of going out there and exposing themselves to this disease to take a haircut and do not get mad at the people below the guy with the B. Like, just let's not make the mistake this time.
Well, we started to do that, remember, and we had a self-correct, and we had Michael Rubin on with the Fanatics when the Sixers and everybody right. else in that organization were talking about taking those situations with the workers at the stadium, and he realized, hey, we're the ones with the B in front of our name. We need to deal with this first. It is clearly not that way in Major League Baseball, but that's why Tom Glavine, who was on with us last week and was asked about that and put that article on ESPN.com, all of that is true. What you're saying is 100% true. Most people won't get there, though. And that was the thing that Glavine was trying to tell to the players. Understand, whether it's right or wrong, fair or unfair, if this thing goes sour, and if it is money and not the virus that stops baseball from coming back, the players are going to get the blame. It's just the way it is.
See, I would have said that a long time ago, but in my lifetime, I never thought we'd see the turn on pay for playing college athletes the way we have recently. Like, that is arguably, to me, as big of a reversal of public opinion as something like this would be. So you have all shown me we're capable of growth.
Yeah.
So let's try and put that into this situation.
I hope you're right.
I have seen that people can change in a way that I never thought was going to be the case.
I hope you're right as well, because for the most part, it's exactly what Glavine is. And it's always been that way. Players yeah. look as the greedy ones here. So let's further this thing. Instead of talking about that proposal is not happening. We know
it's ridiculous.
It, okay. So what's the best way? If you're a player, I was always on the low end of player money. So I'm always the guys you talked about, Mike, the 65% and a million or less. I never made over $1 million. I made $62,000 my first year. 9 years later, I made $750,000. So I had a nice jump, but I was nowhere near, you know, anywhere near the upper half. I was always below that. So the question is, going forward, if the play from the player side, do they keep the prorated side of it? Or because we've seen, forgetting sports, we've seen companies do that. Who's taking the haircut? The CEOs and the EVPs, right? They've taken the haircut.
Yep.
So do the players, if they're going to negotiate this thing, there's two ways to do it. You stay on, this is what we agreed to in March, and this is what we're doing. Or if you decide to do less money, do you do it in a way where the guys who make less keep more? Do you still use a sliding scale if you're a player? Would you agree to something like that, to where a guy making $500,000, now prorated down, still keeps most of his money, where as you go up in salary, they do make a little bit less? I'm not saying this less, but I'm saying, is a sliding scale better than just a prorated deal for players?
Well, I guess
it's going to be better for the most of the league,
I guess that depends on where you are, right?
Well, but so for the majority of the league, much like the vote in the CBA for the NFL, it got passed because the majority of the league are lower paid guys, and it was a good deal for them. A sliding scale would be a good deal for the majority of Major League Baseball as well. Players.
It would be a good deal relative to what, though? Like, I guess that's the thing, is it's a good deal for the majority of players asking the star on your roster to take the cut your owner should.
Yeah.
That's my thought process in all this. I just keep going up the food chain and saying, this is, you're asking your star player to take the cut that your owner should be taking.
But the owners are already, they're already going to lose money. Everybody's losing money here, right? So all they're trying to do is figure out, okay, how much should everybody lose? That's my point. The billionaires are losing money. The multimillionaires are losing money, and the $100,000 a year guys are losing money, right? Everybody's losing money. So isn't this whole thing, let's figure out a way so we can lose it in a the most palatable way?
Show me what percentage of his income the owners.
That's what I have no idea.
And that's what you'll never get.
Yeah,
means they have to open. That means Artie Moreno is going to have to say, here are my ledgers, Players Association. have at it.
And that number
and
could be
never
so,
going to happen.
And that number could be so staggering that it makes this all look like peanuts. I don't know, and we don't know, and all that. But I only say that as to mean if we're going to rank all the employees and say the ones that make the most should take the biggest chunk away from their salary and what their what they stand to make during the course of this year. Let's start all the way at the top.
No, I agree with you, but like I also agree with Trey. We're never going to know that.
They'll never open those books.
I guess if the players are willing, they're already said they prorate their deals, so they're going to make less. But would you be willing to do it as a player in a way to sliding scale so the guys making 500 to a million keep more of their money?
I think only to a certain point, because again, they all understand where this money comes from. And mm-hmm. so I'm not willing to just say, well, because this is all we can get, this is how we're going to do it. Like, no, we're a strong union. We push for more all the time.
Yeah. All of this is straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no compromise. But here's the other thing, right? Obviously, this is out there for a reason. Much in the same way someone floated out the idea that, hey, Dak Prescott turned down $175 million with 40, and he wanted $45 million in the last year of that deal. That was out there for a reason. That just doesn't just come out. Somebody has an agenda when they put that out there. So when this proposal is put out there and Jeff Passan has it and sees it and the players' reaction to it, my question is, what is the win here? Why is someone who is putting this out there, what are they trying to accomplish
by doing this? The win, I think, is to and listen, I hope you're right as well about the shift in the thought process, but I don't know if it's going to be. The win here is for the league and the union, for the league when the union comes out with strong words that said this is basically ridiculous. And then the public says, well, wait a minute, man, you're still making, you know, way more than I make, because that's what they do.
Which,
you know, that's what they do.
Give the union credit. Their initial statement on this was anything but fire and
which
brimstone.
Which is good, which I think is
it
good.
It was succinct, and the rest of the message needs to be players. Shh, we don't need to talk right now.
That's exactly what I was going to say next. Are we going to see tweets from players today? Are we going to see, just like we saw in the NFL, when that proposal, you heard some of the top players just rip it. Mike, 1,000% agree with you. That's Tony Clark needed to get to all the players and said, zip it.
Shut it down.
Or to Herm, don't press send. Let's keep this thing professional.
Do you think that's going to happen?
Man, as always, there's way more players than billionaires.
Right.
Okay? So in the more people you have involved, the more chance you get that rogue guy or that some guy that just fed up that hits send and all of a sudden starts a brush fire.
Again, straight talk wireless, no contract, no compromise. But like that's the thing, right? I mean, the owners put that out there the first time and the players took the bait. Blake Snell went on Twitch.
She did.
Hopefully they learned.
Doing that thing. And then, you know, Bryce Harper in a good way sort of back, hey, Blake, that's my guy. I understand. He's a beast, all this stuff. But they just don't talk about it. Like, the thing I don't understand about all of this is where either side thinks it's a win in the current situation we find ourselves in medically and monetarily in this country to be this open about the money. As you said when we're talking about the NHL, they haven't said a word about anything, and they, for all we know, they may have agreed to a lot of things. We just haven't heard about it yet. I just don't understand where baseball, either the owners or the players, thinks, you know, if we just bitch about this on the air all the time, that's good for us.
This has been the result, and I think Jeff tweeted this the other day, of this erosion of this relationship over a number of years now. This is the sum total of all these things.
I agree, and I don't know where this goes, because I still think the mentality of people is, those are billionaires owners. They were billionaires before they had these things. They're always going to be billionaires. Players, you should be happy you're playing. You know what? And you get to play a kid's game and get paid a lot of money. So what if you get paid a little less? To me, I just still think that's I think that's still the majority of the public. And I think the majority of the public still will be against the players for whatever that means.
There's the defiance in me that says, if I'm a player, you know what? I don't care.
Well, again, that's fine if you don't. And for the most part, they probably don't, but everybody says something publicly for a reason.
Yeah.
They are looking to garner public.
Correct.
Well, yeah. And that's what I said. They're trying to do this. And so I'm saying we've all identified this. Like, we're better at seeing the patterns now. Don't let them con you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, don't let them get you.
But do you think that'll work?
Yeah. I mean, if we shout it loud enough and say, this is the rub. Like, this is what they're trying to do. Don't let them do it.
We'll find out today. right?
Right.
Because, well, yeah. because, well, no, no, for the most part, I mean, you're going to, because when, in the football, when that CBA, when the first proposal had come out, right away the players jumped on it.
Correct.
So this happened yesterday. This happened yesterday. Yeah. So you're going to get angry players today, where I think if you're going to get that tweet from that player, it's going to be today, because they'll digest, they'll say, wait a minute, I was making that. I agreed to make this. So, you know, if I'm a $15 million a year guy, okay, I agreed to make $7.5 million. Now you're telling me I'm only making $4 million. You know, type, send. Yeah. You know, this is, a, so I think we'll find out today. And man, I hope they don't. And then it will be very interesting to see what they come back with as a proposal.
Cause let's be clear, that's a very rational viewpoint to have if you're one of those players. I mean, Mike Trout has said, because we're using Mike Trout as the example.
Yeah, because he's the most.
He's the most, the $37 million guy, okay? He's already had issues where he said, if I have to be sequestered from my wife, who's, what, expecting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure I'm going to go anyway. And now you're looking at this. I mean, it's a very rational point for these players to get to that. So it's almost fighting against their own DNA because they understand, hey, this makes absolutely no sense. So, of course, you want to say, this makes absolutely no sense. But the best thing for them would be to not say a thing. And that's got to be a very difficult thing for someone who, A, is a competitor, and B, believes logic is on their side.
Well, and who has, it's their job. Like, you always look at things differently when it's your job. For the rest of us, we look at it as game and all these things that are super important to us. And for him, it's his job. And it's going to be, and the interesting part is, the higher paid you are, the higher chance there is, this is going to be your job for a long time. Meaning you have to take those things into account of the risk of going out now, potentially getting this disease and it affecting the rest of your career, versus the guys that are making around league minimum in this, who, Dad, like you and like what I would have been in the league, are guys that don't know if you're going to be there year
right,
to year.
Right. Well, here's what's interesting. One player already said about this proposal, it's much better than any revenue sharing split. So, okay. I mean, that is a look at, okay, so remember it was the players thought it was prorated, then it was floated out there, as it's put in this article, the trial balloon of revenue sharing was floated out there, which popped upon leaking to the media, and that did.
Yeah.
So one player said, this is much better. Now, it's a matter of negotiating, you know, this sliding scale if it's going to go down this road.
Well, Jeff Passan said, I also heard him say this on SportsCenter when he was on, it's time to roll up our sleeves and go to work, all right? We've had this proposal. Now, get on a Zoom conference or whatever app you want to use and quit leaking stuff to us and just figure it this bleep out, right? Just get that part of it done. I mean, at some point we need to have a face-to-face conversation as much as you can in these social distancing times and just sit down and try and work it out.
Easy to say. I think it's
totally
also,
easy
I,
to say.
I think it's also on us to say, like, this is how this stuff goes, and we always clamor for transparency in sports. You're getting it.
Yeah.
Understand it. You know, take it in for what it's worth, and realize there's going to be concessions made here. These high paid guys are probably going to end up taking somewhat of a haircut, and it's going to be whatever level is palatable for them.
Yeah. Again, we're still stuck in the suck, for lack of a better term. And we're trying to get out of the suck. We'll see if we're getting any closer with Major League Baseball. Coming up, we did hear from an NBA star yesterday, and his future is murky. We'll get to that next. Skolnick and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.